Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to come. And from a standpoint of a young career global agronomist, to share with you some of the results that we've received over the last 3 years in two communities in Haiti, specifically two mountain communities, Turpin and Orangey. My collaborators are from Washington State, ARS, Evangel University, and I personally work for a faith-based NGO called Convoy of Hope. 3 years ago, I left the academic community to the academic agronomy and extension community to really look at how you could develop a Department of Agriculture inside a faith-based community, a faith-based organization. Starting off looking at the grand challenges from our own societies and what that would look like, our overall goals for our department are to eliminate poverty, chronic hunger, malnutrition, through really four different objectives that fit into most everything that we would see when we look at global agronomy. Looking at good methods of local assessment, regional food supplies, pathways for education and training, developing a local extension system inside that country, and then in the end being able to enhance soils, increase yields, marketability, nutrition, and look at the whole food security system overall. 2 years ago, I was able to provide some of the results of my first 6 months, as it were, leaving the academic system and going to work for an NGO that didn't know what agronomy was, didn't know what agriculture was, but knew they wanted to go beyond the feeding program that they were doing. My group, Convoy of Hope, has been working in Haiti since 2006. It started off with the USAID grant to feed children. We currently feed 75,000 kids a day during the school year in country with our partner, Mission of Hope. And in the end, our overall goal was to go beyond that meal and to be able to start locally sourcing our feeding program. Started in 2012, set out to build an extension system and to really increase local production. And the preliminary results and setup were presented in Ohio under the topic Agriculture Matters, a Haitian case study. The two communities that we started to focus on, because our resources were small and we still needed to be able to prove the point that agriculture really does matter and global agronomy is an issue that all nonprofits, especially faith-based, need to be involved in one way or the other. One was in the region of Tomazoo, and the other was in Turpin and Orangey, the mountain community there in the red. This is a USAID slide from the winter program, and the green dots are actually soils. Soil tests that have been done part of the USAID grant program, and you can see the two communities that we are working with don't have access to that winter program, but they are available in the vicinity, and some of our farmers in Tomazoo did have interaction with that USAID winter program. When we look at the overall approach of what we really tried to do and what it looked like, in Tomazoo, started off with rice farmers. It was an existing partnership that was set up as education co-ops. We partnered with a local businessman who had sought us out to really start taking that co-op and turning it into a for-profit agriculture model to be able to help the local farmers. The overall concept was a for-profit model that incorporated several co-ops. We were able to hold biannual agronomy workshops. Every 6 months I would go into country and cover the topics that the farmers wanted to hear. So they would come to us, they would come to me, they would come to our liaisons with the president of the co-op and say, we want you to cover this, we want you to cover this. And it went from everywhere from the basics of what is soil, what are soil nutrients, to after the second year they were asking about reproductive stages of corn and of rice. And these are the pieces that they wanted. There was no seed capital whatsoever that was invested in this community, with the exception that we were able to help them with a small loan for a tractor, which they were able to pay back in full with interest. They had minimal access to our agronomy staff, but however, through email, phone calls, if they had tough questions, we were there to answer them. And they did have chemical inputs available, and they were utilized when the farmers chose to. The mountain communities in Turpin and Orangey were set up a little different. They were set up in a model that we started off with versus what was already pre-existing. We chose to go into the local community and partner with either local church leaders and community leaders. The center point in these two communities happened to be the local church. inside those community, inside that workshops, inside that community model, that included the local witch doctor. He's been at every one of our workshops. You did not have to be a member of the local church, but that was the community hub. It was a community-focused model. Because we were working with, out of the center of the local church, their focus really was community health and community benefit. And there wasn't that profit was the driving model. It was community health for their community. We held monthly agronomy workshops that ranged from 50 members to 100 members, and it was they were done on a monthly basis. And in those workshops, we covered the topics that we felt that they needed to know on basic soil agronomy, soil science, crop science, but also interweaving the things that they really wanted to know about. We're at a point now where they tell us a month in advance what they want to know, and we prepare, and our agronomists come and prepare for that. We do have a seed capital program in this community where we will help you with seed once. We picked 100 farmers from each community, so 200 in each growing season. We will help supply you with some seed because in this community, especially these two communities in Haiti, there was no seed saving that was taking place. They were eating their profit. They were eating their seed because the average income in the community was still under $2 a day. Once we worked with you and once we gave you seed capital, we did not work with you again on seed capital. However, you always had access to our full-time agronomist and any workshop that we held. And in return, we asked you to go to the workshops and to give back 10% of your harvest directly back into our children's feeding program. We have 4 full-time agronomists that are on staff in Haiti. They're Haitian trained. And then I give them some supplemental education and some of those gaps that they might be missing. And we have one of them that lives in this community, and the other are just a phone call and a short drive away. And there are no chemical inputs, both in pesticide, herbicides, or fertilizer, because they cannot afford it. In 2013 in Tomozo, we were able to take this community of rice farmers, take them almost all the way up to the full yield of about 2.5 ton per hectare. Some were at 6 metric ton per hectare prior to that. Just through basic education, they were all less than 1 ton per hectare. Their incomes went from 200 to a season to a 700 a season, and they went from 200 hectare to 800 hectare in production. There are multi-factors that went into this, but we were very pleased in 2013 with these results. However, one thing that we found is that in 2014, they switched over to sorghum because they realized that they were able to incorporate these good soil and agronomy practices. Their yields were increasing. Sorghum was growing far better in some of these saline soils. And they marketed everything to local sources in Port-au-Prince and were making great profit. To this point right now, I can't buy from them locally because they have outpriced me as an NGO. So we just purchased 150 metric ton from them. However, we paid premium dollar for locally Haitian sourced sorghum. Unfortunately, because it was set up really as a for-profit model, we were in the middle of what I call a state of power mongering, and the co-ops that were involved originally that were unified in the first 2 years, now that profit is being made, they're interfighting. I went down this last, just a couple months ago, and they did not want me to come to the co-op meeting because they were infighting so much that they were embarrassed. And so right now, we're not sure what 2015 looks at them. We're still working with some of the core leaders who have community empowerment as a goal. But those that are really looking at profit, there's disunity, there's lack of trust. It's an issue of shame for some, and they won't even don't want us to come on site. And we're still working with them, still purchasing from them. But that for-profit model really has caused some issues for us in that Haitian community. When we look at Turpin and Orangey, we've got 1,200 farmers that have currently gone through our program cycle. It represents about 7,000 family members. 54% of them are women. The average market is still 7 kilometers from their home. And at this point, their kids have more education than their parents. When we started our full-scale education program and really building this extension system and hiring our staff, we did it after the fall planting in our seed program in 2012. And this is just looking at our black bean harvest. But when we look at our black bean harvest, as a community, we've gone from 328 kilograms per hectare to this last spring season, we were at 1,280 kilograms per hectare. And that was community-wide. That's on average. The profit has doubled. The community is being known now for high productive of black bean. People are seeking out this region for the purchases of seed. This was done purely through educational pieces, giving the basics of good agronomy. There was some partnership with USDA or with ARS in getting some disease-resistant variety of beans. But we're really pleased with these results. And the community continues to, because it is a for-community benefit model, once those 200 farmers are through, they keep expanding. And they are reaching out. Even though we say Turpin and Orangeade, they go and find more farmers that need and want this help. And I don't have all the data here talking about those that we've gone from almost now, where about 70% of our farmers are saving back seed. Some farmers are donating 20% of their profit and their yield back into our program. And this yield increase was all done with decreasing amounts of capital and no synthetic fertilizer inputs, purely just through good agronomy, soils, and crop education. And when we look at our overall goal was to help produce locally meals for our feeding program and for what we were doing in Haiti. In 2011, there was zero. As of the end of this year, we'll be close to 4 million meals to date. We've had 3,758 farmers who have individually gone through these agronomy workshops that range anywhere from 2 to 8 hours. And the 8-hour sessions are what they ask us for. And our average increase in income, especially in the two mountain communities, was at less than $2 a day. And now we're over $5 a day. However, that number is still, we're working on some of the better ways to really nail that number down, because we have to look at it from a seasonal standpoint. For a greenhorn, what are the lessons that are confirmed then when you are trying to create an extension system and a agriculture agronomy program in a faith-based nonprofit from scratch? They confirm the things that we all know. The extension system model works. Good education in the hands of people, taking the science to the people and the people to the science works. And it works in Haiti. Quality education on the basics of agronomy can take in a community to the next level without chemical inputs. There will come a time when we need to go beyond that, when we will start increasing our education on what are some of the other things that will take us beyond. But taking farmers to a base level, it is possible through good education. We know and we understand that better crop varieties works, and we saw that as part of that integration into Turpin and Orangeade. And in our experience, community-focused partnerships yield better community empowerment than a for-profit model, specifically in Haiti, because Haiti is a beautiful country. It's a unique country. But in our experience firsthand, I do not get phone calls of conflict in my co-ops when we took it and we centered it around the local church. And FaceTimes matters. Probably my greatest conclusion at the end is that it's scary for some organizations to partner with faith-based organizations, especially those that would be considered into the evangelical community. And I'm speaking on that tomorrow. It's kind of opening that black box of what that actually looks like and how we may or may not be scary to the academic world. Thank you. Yes.
I worked in Haiti for a little bit in your Kibonite Mountains, and I'm just curious, what are the soil fertility practices that you were promoting? Because I know that that's a big constraint in any kind of crop production there.
Good manure. What were some of the soil fertility and nutrient amendment type things that we were educating on? We started off with good manure management. They all had access to some cows and some pigs, but there were not anything consistent. So we talked about putting those animals in the field. The tradition of burning was they'd pile it and burn it for several reasons. So we had them, the residues, putting them back onto the fields, taking their animals, rotating them around, that and really doing an intercropped mulching. And we also did crop rotation and intercropping. And those three things have really seemed to help us with our moisture retention, our soil fertility, and just The water retention and the soil fertility, you see it all. I mean, just it's there and you see it. So that's where we started.
Okay, Jason, thank you.